old men get tired. I found that out, you know. And they say the years are the golden years. And I told them the other day up at Beaver Dam, I said, I hadn't found a lot of gold. And then I also thought this as well. I said, you know, really the only advantage I've found thus far of getting old is you get your fishing hunting license for $5. But then if you're not able to fish, you don't help much, does it? But I'm thankful to the Lord today for all of His blessings. God's been good to us. I heard a little joke of that. I'll share with you right quickly before we try to preach, and we won't take a long time. But said this rich man, very rich, and all he got all enthused with alligators. And he just bought alligators one over the other, you know, and bought a bunch of them. Filled his swimming pool full of alligators. And he was really proud of them. So he had a big party, and they all gathered around the pool. And said he told them, said, now, if there's anybody here that's brave enough to swim across that pool, said, I'll give him $1 million. Or I'll give him my daughter's hand in marriage, whichever one he prefers. So about that time the water splashed, and here come this old boy across there, beating his way across, knocking alligators out of the way. Finally gets to the other side, and when he gets over there to the other side, the man told him, said, listen, son, I ain't think anybody be that brave or that stupid, but said, you just did it. Said, now, said, would you like this $1 million? He said, no, I don't want the $1 million. He said, then you want my daughter's hand in marriage? He said, no, sir, I don't want your daughter's hand in marriage. He said, well, what do you want? He said, I want the name of the guy who pushed me in. That's about the way I'd be, wouldn't you? If somebody pushed me in, I'd kind of like to have his name too for a few minutes. You know, the Lord's good. We hear a lot of little funny things like that that blesses our hearts and things. And so this morning, I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you have it, to the book of Job in chapter 14. I want to read a verse or so here from two or three different places, if we could, in the Word of God, and I think it might be a blessing to you. In verse number 16, the Bible said, for now thou numberest my steps, dost thou not watch over my sin? In verse 31 of the same chapter, he said, not him that is deceived trust in vanity. Chapter 31 in verse 4. I'll get it right here in a minute. You can tell I was ready, wasn't I? Chapter 31, verse number 4. Again, the Word of God said this, does not he see my ways and count all my steps? If I'm reading that right, God knows every step that I make every day of my life. To add with that, he made a promise and he said something like this. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Now, long ago, the Lord gave us a message. You know, that's one of the deepest verses of Scripture in the whole Bible, that God never leave us nor never forsake us. Wherever our steps may be directed, and I believe God directs every step we make. Whichever way God directs our steps and we get there, we don't go alone. You remember what God told Moses when he called him to go down to Egypt and to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? He said, I'm not sending you alone. I'm going with you. I'm glad God always goes with you. When he sends you somewhere, he doesn't send you alone. If you go to preach, I mean, you may not see him, but he's there. I mean, he's always there. On your worst days, he's always there. And if you count your blessings, they say, well, me this one time, and I found this proved out to be true. Said, on the worst days that you have, count all the good things in that day, and the good will always outweigh the bad. And it will. But it's amazing sometimes how God directs his children and lets us get into certain places and things in our lives. Heard a preacher preach on this the other day. I think maybe it up Beaver Dam. He was talking something about this. God been kind of speaking to my heart about it ever since.
And it's a good thought, to be honest with you, just to realize. He talked about Joseph, how that when Joseph went down to Egypt and was down in Potiphar's house down there, how that God had directed him to be there. He was there for what purpose? He was there to serve God, do what God wanted to do, but to make a way for his brothers and his father and them to come down. And sure enough, he did exactly that. I'm sure he didn't understand it. In fact, there's more that a child of God usually don't understand than what we do. When we get to the point we think we really understand, then we found out we didn't understand at all. But I was looking this morning or this afternoon in my Bible here, and I want to come to the book of John in just a minute here, if you will, and I want you to read just a few verses in chapter 11 of the book of St. John. We'll try to tie all this together a little bit if we can. But you, a preacher last night, I believe it was, or night before last, he said this. He said a miracle always begins with a need. And it really does. Every time there's a great miracle, before the miracle takes place, there's been a great need. God directs us in the past sometime when only a miracle will take care of the situation that we're in. And what I'm saying to you today is this. God's always there. We've already established that. He may lead me and you to a point in our life where only a miracle of God will see us through this time that we're in. We're going to look at, of course, we're going to look at the resurrection here of Lazarus is what we're going to be talking about. But I want you to just read with me here just a little bit. And I have a little trouble reading anymore because I can't half see. He said, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that he saith, Then after that saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things saith he, and after that he said unto his disciples, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had just spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us go also, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days. 4 days. Now watch this. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was come, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Now listen closely for just a few minutes, if you will, and we'll try to bring this message. Lord Jesus, we need you right now, Lord, in a special way. Lord, we need you, God, today to just reach down and help us, God, to proclaim the Word of God. Lord, let us be a blessing and a help today. Lord, there may be someone here today that's in a situation where only a miracle will take care of what's wrong.
Lord, I know sometimes I've been there before. Lord, when I got that news that you were coming, that you was on your way, Lord, you was very nigh. It surely helped me to get through that time. And I pray today as we look at this that, Lord, you might open our eyes and might make us realize that our lives are much like this life of these folks right here. Help us, Lord, and we'll praise you for it. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. If I understand my Bible, these folks were right where God put them. These were not just ordinary folks. They were Christians, by the way. They loved the Lord. I mean, they'd sold out. They'd gave to him. And it talks about her, how that she had worshipped him when she anointed his feet and things of that sort. She loved him. So did her sister and so did Lazarus. But this time in their life that they got to had got to the point where only a miracle would be what they needed to take care of that situation. They heard the words, Jesus is here. Sweetest words in our days of trial is to know Jesus is here. If you've not been there yet, and you've not experienced that yet, I'm sure Brother Broughton, some of these other preachers here as well, have got to that point in their ministries where it seemed like everything was hopeless. It had just about hit the bottom. It was gone. I mean, we're through, we're finished, we're washed up. I don't know what to do next. And then you got that little sound. Jesus is here. He's on his way. I mean, he's on his way right now. He's very near. He's coming into town. He's here. I can remember. Some folks don't realize this, but pastors don't have a pastor. Sometimes you really need somebody. I mean, you really need somebody just to go and sit down with and talk with and to try to tell them your problem so that it would help you a little bit. I never will forget a time. I'd got to the point in my ministry, I've been there a few times, but I thought, well, I'm quitting. I'm through. I'm completely finished. I quit. I got on the phone that night before I completely resigned and everything and got out of it. I called Brother Ken Yardbrough. Most of you may know Brother Ken. Brother Ken, I called him and I said, hey, could I come down to your house tomorrow and talk to you a little while? He said, foot no. He said, I'm coming up there where you are. The next morning, he met me at church. I mean, he came to my church. Me and him went in. We went in the back room. We spent the whole day in the back room. Guess what? The Lord came near. Everything was all right. I mean, there was peace again. We're ready to go again. But you know, we get to that point in our life where only a miracle will do it. I reached that point another time, and let me share this with you. Sunday morning, I know sometimes y'all don't realize this, preachers get tired. I was tired. I preached that morning about 8 o'clock at Pinerol State Park in one of those shelter houses. I came back to my church and I taught Sunday school at 10 o'clock and I preached again at 11 o'clock. I turned around then and went to a nursing home at 2 o'clock and preached at a nursing home at 2. I left that nursing home, went across town and preached at another nursing home at 3 o'clock. I was tired. By the way, Mama wasn't feeling real good neither. And she wasn't in the best of moods. If y'all married, you know what I mean there. I mean, sometimes they get a little on the cranky side. I know we don't do that, but they do. You know what I mean? They're built different than we are. But she wasn't real happy. And I was tired. All of those services had been flat. I mean, nothing had taken place. I mean, I was just exhausted. I gave everything I had and had nothing. I said, Lord, I quit. I'm going to resign tonight. I'm through. I give up. I quit. God got a hold of my heart before I got home. That after he'd done twisted it around and I'd done changed my mind, I said, God, I'll go back tonight and I'll preach again. If it hair lifts the devil, I'll do it. But I needed something from God. I needed something.
Mary and Martha, they needed something. I mean, they needed something in the worst way, and it wasn't something just ordinary. They needed a miracle. I needed a miracle. We go to church that night and we preach the Word of God to the best of our ability. Gave an invitation. My sister-in-law got up, walked down the aisle. I come over here and knelt down to the altar with her. And while I was leading her to the Lord, she's getting saved. I heard somebody on the other side of me over here praying, crying, squalling. I got through with her and I looked around, and there was my brother. There's my miracle. I looked over at him. I said, "Billy, I said, can I pray with you about something?" He said, "Not now." I said, "The Lord just saved me." Boy, just think if I'd have quit. If I'd have quit. If I'd have quit shy of the miracle. If I'd have stayed back one step before the miracle, what would have took place? A little bit later on, just a few years later, Billy got killed, and I won't go into all the details, in a car wreck. I went to the scene of the accident as soon as I could get there. My kids called me and said, "There's been a bad wreck down the road." I said, "We think it's Billy." So I drove as quickly as I could get to that place. When I got there, they wouldn't let me go near the car because it literally tore him all to pieces. Hard times. Hard times. Billy was dead. His little boy walked into the funeral home. I'll never forget that in mine as long as I live. He walked up that casket. He said, "That's not my daddy." His head had been all tore up and they had to make it all over again and everything. And after they got him fixed up, it didn't look like him. Nicholas said, "That's not my daddy. That's not my daddy. That's not my daddy." I knew better. Let me tell you something. My mind didn't go to the casket. My mind went back to the altar. First thing I thought of when I found out for sure it was him, I thought about that night. That night. Well, listen, Lazarus had been sick for days. It had been a great thing had the Lord came and just reached down and touched his body and made him well, you see. And by the way, he could have done that. No problem. I mean, no problem. He could have spoke a word where he was and said, "Heal his body." And lo and behold, Lazarus would have become whole. That wasn't what they really needed. They needed a miracle. Now notice this. Their hearts are broken. Mary especially. Martha was also heartbroken as well. But Mary especially, her heart was broken. Her brother was dead. Yesterday, God could have helped. The Lord could have helped yesterday. If things had just been different yesterday, they wouldn't have been like they are today. But can I say to you, He's not the God of yesterday necessarily. He's the God of today. What about today? I mean, it's got to the point now where it looks like there's no hope. Down in Jairus' house, you remember they said the little girl's dead. The parents had no hope. Only a miracle. Only a miracle. Y'all ever been to church when it looked like the church was just about going to go under? I have. It looked like, I mean, it's just about finished. I mean, just about ready to lock the doors, turn the lights off, and go to the house. I mean, throw the key in and forget it. But then God would send Jesus. And He'd just come by and visit a little while. Lo and behold, I look at that passage of Scripture sometimes. I think about what a miracle this was. It had been a miracle to have healed his body. We get all excited about the healing of the body. And we should, by the way. But let me tell you something. Something greater is waiting. What did he do? He just walked up and said, "Lazarus, come forth." That'd take a miracle, wouldn't it? 4 days, they said, he stinketh. "Are you sure you want to do this? Are you sure you want to roll the stone away?" He got to be stinking by now. By the way, if you've never been around somebody that's been dead for a while, there's no smell like that at all. I mean, there's not nothing to match that at all. We buried a man that had been dead for several days. He was in the casket, and the casket was closed and sealed, but you could still smell. I mean, terrible, terrible. They need a miracle. They need a miracle. The Lord said, Lazarus, come forth. Now you tell me something. If I read my Bible right, it said he was bound hand and foot. Bound hand and foot. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes, hand and foot. But he came out. I think he floated out. Y'all remember what it is? He came out, and then what did the Lord say? Loose him. Get that stuff off of him. He don't need that no more. I mean, he's alive now again. Hey, listen to me. This is great what the Lord's done here. But he's done miracles for me and you already. We just ain't seen it all yet. We're still at the grave site. You just wait a little while longer. I mean, you just wait a little while longer. It won't be long. So last week up at Central or Beaver Dam, the Lord gave me a message I preached on after this, Revelation chapter 4. Something after this. Hey, more, a little bit more after this. I mean, after they'd buried him, after they'd wrapped him in those grave clothes and buried him, and it sealed the tomb where he lay, there's still something more waiting out there. The miracle of God, the blessing of God is yet to come. I want you to know, miracles take place every day in our life. But the greatest of all miracles was the day that Jesus saved my soul. In my life, the greatest miracle I've ever seen was the day God saved my soul. It was at the point where you're just about swinging over hell. I was just lost. Somebody says a ball and high weeds. I mean, I didn't know before that night, but listen, when the Lord got a hold of me, He brought me to a place where I was going to go to hell. I mean, wasn't no hope except in Christ, is what they told me. I found Him that night, and lo and behold, something came alive that was not there. It was a miracle of God. A miracle of God. We have crises in our life of sickness in our families. We have crises in our life of financial burdens sometimes that we can't handle. I mean, churches is having problems and things like that. We get to the point that we can't do it. Did you know that's exactly where God wants us to be? We can't do it. I mean, we can't do it. When we get to the point we can't do it and we're willing to admit that to God, we can't do it, Lord. We can't. I can't build the church. Lord, I can't make it grow. Lord, I can't even preach without You. I can't do anything without You. And we get to that point in our life when we're helpless. That's when He becomes strong. By the way, that's why God called you. He chose the weak things of this world. We think sometimes, boy, I'm somebody because God called me. He called me when I was nothing. You know, I'm still nothing today. Everything that I've ever done, He gets the glory for it because I didn't do anything. He done it all. I mean, every miracle in my life, I didn't produce it, but I've seen miracles. I've seen miracles in the ministry. I've seen God do them. Not long ago, let me tell you a couple of stories and then we'll quit. I was in the hospital, met a man in the hospital. Now, you can believe this or not believe it, doesn't make me no difference. I was there when it happened. But, man told me, said, my wife is down there and says she's very bad. Said she's not going to make it. Said they done told her, said she wouldn't leave the hospital and things. And I said, well, I'll go down and pray with her in a minute. And I went down there to pray with her. Her name was Wanda. And I went in the room where Wanda was, and this is what she was saying. She's kind of looking up the ceiling, and she's saying, Daddy's girl. I'm Daddy's girl. Daddy's girl. I'm Daddy's girl. I said, Wanda, can I pray with you? And I reached over and took her by the hand. We began to pray. And she said, Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name.
you believe she's still living today? I saw a miracle right in front of me. Not me. All I did was just ask Him for something. But God did something in that room that day. I mean, God did something that was supernatural, that was way out of my power. God did something for that woman that day. And I believe He's still doing something for her. My little grandson, Chastity's little boy, Landon, he was born, and a few minutes after he was born, they discovered something was wrong with Landon. He couldn't breathe right. They're trying to get him where they can get him to intensive care over to hospital. There's a doctor and two nurses that's working. I mean, they're working hard with him just to keep him breathing and everything. And they're fixing to take him out of the room. I said, let's pray before you take him out. We walked over by that little buggy where they got him at, you know. I just said, Lord, would you help this baby? Landon said, three times. He didn't have to go to intensive care.
Amen.
Chastity jumped straight up in the bed. She said, he heard. He heard. You know what we did? We just saw a miracle of God. Just saw a miracle of God. They went on and took him to intensive care, but they didn't have to. He was all right. God took care of him. Can I say this to you today? When God takes care of it, God deserves the credit for it, not me and you. Not me and you. It's all His. But boy, I'm so glad today He goes with me every step I take. In my life, if tomorrow brings heartaches and sorrow, He'll be there. I may have a little trouble finding Him myself, but He'll be there. And just when I need Him most, He'll put that miracle in my life. You've been there a few times, haven't you, Brother Ben? Just at the time you need Him the most, when all else have failed, He's not failed. I'm glad He's there. I told him that at church when he said, I'll never leave you, never forsake you. Me and my wife's been married 54 years last Saturday. I told her, I said, I'll take you as my wife, live with you, love you, cherish you, do all the things a husband's supposed to do until death does part. But you see, there's a limit where I have to stop. He don't stop. He doesn't stop. Everything we do, there's a limit. But not with Him. I can go so far. I can go with Him to the hospital. I can go with Him to the funeral home. I can go with Him to the cemetery. I can go with Him a long way, and I'll go, thanks be unto God. God give me the strength and the grace. I'll go as far as I can go. I'll love Him the best I can. But there's a limit. I'm limited. And so are you. But He's not. I could use a miracle today. I don't know about you.
Amen.
I could sure use a miracle today. Wouldn't it be a miracle tonight if somebody walked down this aisle and said, I'm not saved? They found Christ as their Savior. You said, well, I wish I was preaching. It don't make no difference who's preaching. Need the miracle. Mary and Martha got the miracle. They walked home with Lazarus. You know, the next night where they were at? They were sitting at the table, eating supper with Jesus, with Lazarus and Mary. They were all gathered together, and the crowd came in to see what had been done. The miracle had taken place. I would to God today that He'd send a miracle in my life. Every time a baby's born, it's a miracle. Amen. Every time a child of God is born into the kingdom of God or family of God, it's a miracle. Brother Richardson.